excited. So if I seem excited, it's because I am. If I seem nervous, it's because I am. Can you hear me? Okay. Yes, we're going to do it. Pull out your swords. Everybody have one? Because I'll wait. I don't mind. Okay, repeat after me. Father, I have your word and I believe it's true.
Father, I have your word and I believe it's true.
I believe that I am everything it says I am.
I believe I am everything it says I am.
I believe I have everything it says I have.
I believe I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, I really believe that. All right, I need to warn you ahead of time. I have a lot of scripture I'm going to throw at you. If you're a note taker, perhaps now would be the time to pull out a pen. If you're not, you might want to just jot down scriptures to look at in your own study time. I'm a note taker, so I write down everything. Okay, if you will turn with me to Galatians 2. A lot of the scripture I'm going to give you today would be theme scripture for the message, but this would be the first one that we're going to hit. So the title of this message is Living a Resurrected Life.
Hallelujah.
Now, becoming a Christian means living a resurrected life, exchanging the old for the new and being renewed into the image of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what being a Christian is not about. Being a Christian is not about having an empty set of rituals. Being a Christian is not about following rules. It's not about do's and don'ts. Being a Christian is not about attending service. And it's not about reading the Bible. And it is definitely not about trying to be a good person. It's about change. It's about change of heart. And there is no change that is more radical than to die and to be born again as a new person.
Amen.
And it's nothing less than our own death, burial, and resurrection into a renewed life on this earth with the hope of an eternal life in heaven. And it's all by the grace of God. You can't do it, Sharon. You can't do it. I can't do it. Pastor can't do it. Only God can do it. It's why he sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. Only Christ could pay for our sin debt that we could not afford. Only Christ could overcome sin, overcome death, rise from the grave, and live eternally. Hallelujah! That's an awesome thing. And I know that I'm probably not telling you anything that you don't already know. But if we believe that, if we claim to be alive in Christ, if we claim to be saints of God, saved by only His amazing grace, then why is it that we're still living in the tomb? He's not dead. He is risen. Hallelujah. That's an awesome thing. And because we have a relationship with Him, because we have a union with Him, we're alive in Him. Amen? Amen. The thing about it is, you're either dead in sin or you're alive in Christ. There is no middle ground. You're either under the law or you're under grace. Pick one. Which one is it? So turn to Galatians 2. I want to read verse 20 and 21. You're all there? Okay. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes from the law, then Christ died in vain. We need to understand that there is no righteousness without Christ. None. Romans tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Christ is the only one who can bring that righteousness to our lives, holiness. And it comes from Him. And if it's something I could do on my own, then why did He have to come and die for me? I can't do it without Him. I am nothing without Him. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know what? We have all fallen short. We're all sinners. Let's just get it straight right here. I'm not here to offend anybody, but we're all dirty, rotten sinners. Can we all agree on that? Okay. Well, Paul paints a pretty accurate picture of that in same book, Romans, in chapter 8. Verses 5 through 7 are what I'm going to read. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Carnal Christians are the ones who are surrounded by junk. It's junk. Whether it's the music we're listening to that we know is inappropriate, and maybe it's that we don't really realize what the words are that are coming out of that song, or we don't care. It's the movies we watch that we know we probably shouldn't. It's the magazines that we read that we know if we were going to life group, we wouldn't bring it with us. It could be rebellion to parents, spouses, bosses, disobedience, your hidden secret that you don't tell anybody about, the lust, the fornication, the lying, the theft, the deceit, whatever it is. Anger, bitterness, it's junk. It's junk. And because of that junk, our minds are carnal. And the thing about it is, it's so deceiving because we think we're the ones in control. We think we got it, and it's sin. It's sin that dwells in us. And you know what? Even in that state, even if we wanted to avoid sin, we can't. Because it's our junk-filled mind that is in control. And Paul says it. I really like Paul, by the way. Paul says it best in Romans 7. He says, you know what? The good I want to do, I don't even do. The evil I don't want to do, that's what I practice. And when I'm doing things that I don't want to do, then it's not I who do it. It's the sin that dwells in me. He reminds us that the carnal mind is constantly at war with God. Constantly. Your carnal mind is not under God's law. It can't be. It can't be. And it's because sin dwells in our hearts. And you think about it. You do evil things because of the evil in your mind. You think evil thoughts because of the evil in your heart. When you're constantly thinking about this thing, your actions are going to follow. It's inevitable. And it happens over and over and over and over again. Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. There's not one of us perfect. All of us are sinners. And whatever it is, it's because of the junk in our minds and the evil in our heart that we keep doing it. And the thing about it is, it all stems from the fact that sin dwells in our hearts. It dwells there. Hear what I'm saying. It lives in our hearts. Sin has moved in, unpacked, put its feet up, made itself at home, and comfortable in our lives. And we're not in control. Sin is in control. And it's a problem, especially when we claim to be alive in Christ. Pick one. We're either dead in sin or alive to Christ. Guys, it's time to stop playing in the mud of the pit that Christ has died to bring us out of. And the only way that we can do that is to die to ourselves, to die to sin. It's not impossible. We have all the things that Christ has. We can do anything in His name. He overcame sin. He overcame death. I'm not here to offend anybody. God knows our hearts. I'm not saying that there's sin in your life from one area to the next. Again, I'm qualified to stand up here because I've already been convicted. It's your turn. So, I'm glad you're laughing. That one area that you haven't nailed to the cross, that one area that you have not died to, will be the very thing that keeps you from living a resurrected life. It will be the very thing that keeps you from being effective for God. It'll be the very thing that keeps you from being who God created you to be. This is not His plan for our lives. He knows the thoughts that He has towards us. And this is not it. It's not. And the thing about it is, you can't live a resurrected life if you're not raised from the dead. And you can certainly not be raised from the dead if you haven't died. So the first thing that needs to happen is we need to die to sin. We need to die to ourselves. Turn to Romans 6 for me. I'm going to read verses 2 through 4. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. You know, it doesn't surprise me at all that we're not excited about what God's doing in our lives. Our minds are carnal. And it is no wonder that when we get together on Sunday morning to come and invite the Holy Spirit into this place and to worship him, that we're not even joyful in our praise. Because we're not walking in that newness of life. How can you be excited? Paul's referring here Romans 6, to water baptism. Do you guys remember when we were baptized in the pool? You know, the pastor's pool. Remember? Do you remember why we were baptized? We publicly displayed that we identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. When we went under that water, that was our death and burial of the old man. And when we came up fully immersed, we were a new creation. We did not come out the same way that we went in. And it was at that very moment that we realized that, I realized, my life is not my own. It doesn't belong to me anymore. I died. I was buried. And when I rose up out of that water, I rose in him, in Christ, who lives in me and strengthens me. It's not my life. It is not your life anymore. If you have died to sin and rose with him and claim to be alive in him, then you don't have ownership of your life. You don't have ownership what you do. And the thing about it is, once you realize that, sin no longer has dominion over you. Death no longer has dominion over you. You are alive to Christ. You are dead in sin, and you are not under the law. You are under grace. Grace. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now watch this. Turn to Ezekiel. I'm so excited about this one. Ezekiel 37. This is only God, because I never would have found this one on my own. We're actually going to read verses 1 through 13. I'm going to read it out loud with you. Okay, we there? Just about? You need more time? All right, I'm going to start. Can you hear me back there? Okay, sorry. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, only you know. And he said to me again, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied it as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, my people, and brought you up out of your graves, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. And this place And I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Oh, that is so awesome. His Spirit is in us. He spoke it. He performed it. He brought us up out of our graves. Keep in mind, this is nothing, nothing that we can do ourselves. It's all done by God. Only He can change your heart. But guys, listen carefully because it gets better. Not only is there forgiveness of sin, not only have we been born again and alive in Christ, not only will we live eternally with our Heavenly Father, but there's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's His Spirit. Hallelujah. You guys realize that? How awesome is that? I need my notes. God tells us, I will put my Spirit in you and you shall live. He even promised us in John 14 and John 16 that He shall send His Holy Spirit to be with us forever. And even back in Ezekiel 11 and 36, He tells us, and I think I wrote it down. He tells us, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. You guys, we have been given a new heart and a new spirit, God's Spirit. And it's because of Him that we're a new creation in Christ. It is because of that that we're able to have a relationship with Him. It's because of that that we have a new position before God. Colossians 3. Here's another one. Verses 1 through 3 says that, then if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That is how God sees us, hidden with Christ. And we have a new position before Him, raised up with Him, seated with God in heavenly places. Ephesians 2 tells us so, and we need to see ourselves the way that God sees us. The way, not on this earth. This is not the whole reality. There's a spiritual reality there that we don't even see, that we're not even awake to. And because of the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding in our lives, He's able to open our eyes so that we can see our Father, so that we can see who we are. Oh, He is so awesome. When we're focused on the kingdom, when our minds are focused on the kingdom, we will not be led around by our flesh. We won't, because we'll be focused on God. But in order to change your mind, you need a new heart. And only God can do that. Once He does that, His Spirit lives within us. He's leading us, He is teaching us, and He is guiding us. And now we're at the point where we have a choice. We can either respond to His leading, draw near to Him, and come when we're called, or we can ignore the tugging in our heart when He wants to draw us closer to God. It's your choice. It's your choice. He is the one who convicts us of sin. He is the one who convicts us of unrighteousness. He is the one who bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed children of God. And if children, then heirs. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. John tells us that all that God has belongs to Christ. And His Spirit declares it to us. That means that everything that Christ has is ours. It's mine. It's yours. It's yours. But we'd rather live in this earthly realm because we don't follow His leading. We don't respond to it. We run away from it. Oh, God. Sorry, Mom. I know that was really loud. Oh. Guys, we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I'm losing them here. Long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, self-control. These are the things that are produced in our lives when we surrender to God's leading, when we follow Him, when we walk in His Spirit, when we live in His Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He even calls to remembrance the things that Christ has spoken. He brings word to remembrance. Psalm 119 says, your word is hidden on my heart, so I will not sin against you. How can a man choose his way? By taking heed according to your word. Not my word. God's word. We already know what happens when we're left to our own devices. Our minds are carnal. We also know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Proverbs 14 says that there is a way that seems right to man, and its end is the way of death. I don't need your opinions, no offense. If your advice is not based on the truth of Christ, if your advice is not based on the word, I don't need it. I can do bad all by myself. You've all seen it. I don't need your advice if it's just your opinion. Because only God's truth can keep me from stumbling. Only God's truth can be a light unto my path. Only His word can keep me from faltering. And if it's not His word, then I do stumble and I find myself stumbling back into sin, back into flesh, and back into death. And I am alive in Christ. I am not dead. That has no dominion over me anymore. And we need to recognize this. We need to exercise our faith. We need to know what He says about us. We need to know what He says to us. And the only way that that is going to happen is when we surrender to His Spirit. When we walk in His Spirit. We come when He calls. Allowing His Word to penetrate our hearts. Believing what He says and walking in it. Walking in it. We need to be active participants in this relationship. We need to be active participants in the things that He is doing in our lives. And don't get me wrong, it's not anything I can do on my own, but it is His grace, His amazing grace that keeps me from falling. It is His grace that keeps us standing. It is His grace that leads us. When we have no idea what's going on, we can be sure of one thing, that we are solid, firm, and standing on the rock that is Jesus Christ. It's not me, and it's not you. I don't mean to burst anyone's bubble, but you're really out on a limb if you're without Christ. You need to be sure. Oh, God. Why do I believe this? Because His Word tells me so. We're going back to Romans in verse 2. I'm sorry, chapter 12, verse 2. It tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's nothing new. We know that God wants to transform us. He wants to transform our minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the washing of the water of the Word. That is the only way that that is going to happen. One step at a time as we surrender to His leading. And you know what I found out? The degree of my access to God's power is directly related to the degree of the yieldedness in my life. You know what that means? If I don't invest time in God, I will not be changed. If I don't get in His Word and actually sit there at His feet and hear what He would say to me and see what He would say to me, my mind will not be transformed. If we don't get real and approach God honestly, Sean, I still thank you for that word. If we don't approach Him honestly, He's not going to renew us because we're not available to Him to do that. He's able. He is able to do exceedingly and above all that we could ask or imagine. Hallelujah. But if we don't give Him the opportunity to do that, if we don't die to our sin, if we don't die to our flesh, we make no room for God to work in our lives. And that's what I'm realizing for my life. Ephesians 4. I found you'll never be what God meant for you to be until your mind is changed. You can't be told what to think, but you can definitely be taught how to think. And I'm realizing God's not telling us what to do. He's not a tyrant. I hear people say all the time that He's not the man with the big stick. He's not. He's a loving God. Who are we that He's mindful of us? Who are we? We're dust. We're dust, but He loves us. We're His creation. We are sinners. But we're His creation, created in the likeness and image of Him. Are you laughing at me? I think you are. We need to surrender to His leading. We need to surrender to His Spirit. And I have some scriptures, actually, that I want to give you. I always need grace, but there are times when especially I need guidance, I need leading. And these are scriptures for me that that helped me. So I want to give them to you so you can check them out in your own study time. James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties to see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 51, 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. God speaking to us, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's what he's interested in. And you know what? We were talking about sin dwelling in us, making its home. Here's the thing about it. When we get, I think sometimes we do things because we're carnal. And like Paul said, we do things we don't even want to do, and then we feel guilty about it. But thank God there's no condemnation in Christ. And it's like this tug of war in our minds, because that's where the battlefield is. The spirit wants control, but we've already given it to sin. And because sin dwells in us and has made itself at home, it's like occasionally we think we want to rent out a room to God. It's like, you can stay in that room. That's the one I cleaned up for guests, but don't go in the rest of the house. And God wants our whole heart. Our whole heart. Not only does sin need to be kicked out, but he wants you to get out. He doesn't want to be your tenant. He wants your heart. He wants to take control. And we're deceived into thinking that we're in control, and we're not. We're not. We've already freely given it to sin. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen. I like the three D's. I really do. Delight, discipline, desire. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants us to seek him first. Delight in him first. Commit our ways to him. How are we going to do that if we don't know what he says? How are we going to do that if we don't know what his ways are? It's very hard to have a relationship with somebody that you don't even know. It's very hard to sit there and talk to somebody when you have no idea what they say about you, what they think about you. You don't know who they are. You don't know anything about their character. You don't know what they say about your character. You don't know what they have. You don't know that they've given you everything that they own. So I guess the question is, when you're in prayer, what are you saying? What are you saying? I know what I was saying. Wait, was it gimme, gimme, gimme? Is that what it is? Yeah, yeah. Because I wasn't interested in what God had to say. I wasn't interested in God's word. I wasn't interested in what he had for me. I was not interested. All I was interested in was myself. And I will be the first one to tell you that I was a carnal Christian. My eyes have been opened. Thank God. It's your turn. It's your turn. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. And Jesse, I think it's funny. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are praiseworthy, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. There's a battle in our minds. Spirit, sin, life, death. You need to pick one. If you want peace, if you claim to be alive in Christ, think on these things. The leading of the Holy Spirit, once we invite him in, it's already there. When God has given us a new heart, he has given us his spirit. He will lead us. He will draw us closer to him through his word. Our mind will be focused on the kingdom. Our minds will be focused on God. Our minds will be focused on learning of Him. And it all starts from our heart. We've already received a new heart. Walk in it. Walk in it. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And my favorite, Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Find out. He's the only one who's going to tell you. Find out. I can't tell you. Pastor can't tell you. And we know that he's knowledgeable and he has a relationship with God. But he can't tell you what God has for you. Only God can tell you that. Every day it's you I live for. And we, I don't know, I used to think of it as this big thing. Like when I stopped smoking. I'll paint this picture. When I was smoking and I was faced with the reality that I need to quit, my mindset was, I have to go the rest of my life without smoking another cigarette. I will never have another cigarette ever again. And that made me paranoid. That made me nervous because I looked at it like this huge thing. I mean, and every day, each and every day, we have the opportunity to choose God. Each and every day, I made a decision. I'm not smoking today. Every day was a new day. That way I didn't have to put it in this whole big picture and get freaked out because I was making this big life change that I didn't think I was going to be able to handle. Every day, we have the opportunity to choose God or not, respond to His calling or ignore Him. You got to pick one. And then walk in it. And then each day you do it. I want to say it becomes easier, but it becomes, you're allowing Him to take up residence in your heart each day. He doesn't want to change our nature. He wants to change our minds. He wants to change our hearts so that His nature can be in us, so that His character can come forth out of us. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. He wants us to make a decision to live for Him. And you know what? There are people in your lives who need to hear about our risen Lord. There are people in your lives that need to hear about what He has done for you, what He is doing in you, what He has brought you out of. And we walk around carnal, sin dwelling in us like it's okay, and we become ineffective. The enemy does two things. He tempts and deceives. We're deceived into thinking that we're in control and we're not. We're deceived into thinking that everything is okay and it's not. Get the sin out, kick it out of the house, let God dwell in you and live for Him. That's the only way that we can be used. That is the only way that we can be mature in Christ. That is the only way that we can impact people's lives. The truth of the matter is, we are an exceedingly great army. God has raised us from the dead. We are alive in Him. We are alive in Christ. And that's what we need to claim. That's what we need to live. Because He lives, all of our sins are forgiven. Because He lives, we have everlasting life. Because He lives, we have been reconciled to our Father. Hallelujah. Because He lives, death no longer has dominion over us. got to believe it, and we need to walk in it, because there are people who don't know Christ who need to see that reality in us. That's my message. Hallelujah, Father. I just thank you for this time, Lord God. I thank you for the word that you have given me, Father, and I just pray that any things that I may have said that were not accurate or according to your word, Father, that you would sort it out, Lord God, and just speak to the hearts of your people today, Father. They would receive the word that you have meant for them. Father, I thank you for speaking into my life, Lord God. I thank you for changing me. I thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy, Father God. Hallelujah. You sent your son to die on the cross for me and for my sins. I was so not worthy, God. But you love me and you died for me and you care for me and you raised me up, Father, to allow me to live in you and live for you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we are so grateful. Jesus, we bless your name. We want to live for you and we want to honor you, God. And we just ask for your forgiveness, Lord God, for being carnal. Forgive us, Lord God, for being lazy. Forgive us, Lord God, for being slothful. We invite you, Lord, to dwell in us. We invite you, Lord, to have your way. We invite you, Lord, to take control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the change that you are bringing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the change that you have brought in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that you have put within us to guide us, Lord, and dwell in us, Lord God. We thank you for the change that you have brought to our minds, Father God. And right now, Lord God, we just come to you and we make the decision, Lord God. Help us to make the decision to live for you each and every day. Help us to make the decision to draw closer to you, Lord God. You have done all that you were going to do, and now you just wait for us to respond to your calling, Lord God. Yes. Here we are. Use us, Lord God. Have your way in us. And I ask that you bless your people today, Lord God. Bless our fellowship time. Bless our comings and goings. Keep us safe on the road, Father God, and keep us mindful of the price that you paid, Father God. We were bought with a price, and we are yours.
Yes.
We are not our own, Lord God, and we give you our lives, and we bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray all of this in your name, Jesus, and I thank you again. Amen.